Now, the next Democratic primary is more than 1,000 miles from New York, but has a lot of resonance here. It's the Puerto Rican primary this Sunday. Did you know Puerto Ricans are American citizens but do not get to vote in the November presidential election? Well, let's talk about the Puerto Rican vote and New Yorican connections now with Juan Manuel García Pasalacqua. He's a political analyst and a talk show host at the radio station in San Juan, WUNO, and Angelo Falcone, professor at Columbia University and director of the National Institute for Latino Policy. Angelo, welcome back. And Juan Manuel, welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
It's a pleasure to be with you and with Angelo.
Juanma, ¿cómo estamos?
Bien. Placer estar contigo.
Angelo, what's the Puerto Rican population in the New York area, and what's the population of Puerto Rico itself, just for some perspective?
Well, in the New York area, we have over 800,000 Puerto Ricans in the city, in the state, about a million, and in the United States, about 4 million, and in Puerto Rico, it's a little under 4 million, and there are, one of the things that we found is there are actually now, we estimate, more Puerto Ricans in the United States than in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, so in New York alone, from the number that you just gave, it would be like one in every five Puerto Ricans, the equivalent, would be here. Do Puerto Ricans in New York get to vote in that primary? Is there a way that they could choose that primary over this primary?
No. There is no mechanism for that to happen. We just had the Dominican elections.
I was just going to say that.
And there were tens of thousands of Dominicans here who voted there. But since Puerto Rico is not a foreign country and it's not a state, it's in this kind of twilight zone place, we don't have those kinds of options.
Yeah, in fact, I live in Upper Manhattan, so I saw weekend after weekend for the last few months Dominican presidential election rallies on the streets. And Angelo, has there been anything like that here, even though Puerto Rico is a part of the United States?
Well, in terms of this election?
Yes.
No, not really. I mean, I think the two things have been pretty separate. There is many Puerto Ricans here are following what's happening in Puerto Rico, but there's been no mobilization in the same sense that, you saw happening in the Dominican Republic, because people are not actually voting in Puerto Rico, so it doesn't, it's hard to kind of organize along those lines.
We do have some time, listeners, for phone calls and comments on the upcoming Puerto Rican primary. If you just want to know what's happening down there, we have a Puerto Rican journalist and talk show host with us. If you want to talk about some of the New York connections, do that too. Angelo Falcone is here. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call or post a comment on WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Juan Manuel, you wrote a column today about the upcoming primary, and you wrote that American mainland media outlets misunderstand what this election means for most Puerto Ricans. What aren't we getting?
Exactly. Well, the issue that no one is getting in the United States is that for the first time in our history, the colony may end up deciding who the next president of its empire is going to be. In other words, the issue here is that the colony, Puerto Rico, will vote on Sunday and will probably choose the candidate of the Democratic Party for president of the empire. And that has been misunderstood or not understood by American media.
Well, you're using words like colony and empire, which
That's
are
the truth.
Pretty charged and have a certain historical meaning.
No. I mean, I'm a Puerto Rican. I have lived here all my life. Angelo is a Puerto Rican, and Angelo, I'm sure, will coincide with me that the real definition is Puerto Rico is a colony and the United States is its empire. So that's that.
Angelo, want to weigh in?
Well, I think he's on the money. We call it it's called a Commonwealth. And it's also referred to as a territory, just like Guam is and the Virgin Islands. But these are basically colonies of the United States. It's really pretty straightforward. Nothing charged about it. It's just a basic objective description.
And, it is a pretty bizarre kind of arrangement that most Americans probably don't realize many of the details of, like the fact that Puerto Ricans get to vote in the primary only because the primaries are private. the Democratic and Republican parties are private institutions. They can have anybody vote in their private events, which are these primaries. But the general election, which is actually a government thing, a federal government thing, is out of bounds to Puerto Ricans, even though they are citizens of the United States. Angela, can you explain why that is?
Well, sure. I think one of the things that's been great about this primary is that it's allowed some education of the American public about Puerto Rico and its relationship to the United States. And one of the things is that there are, besides Puerto Rico, you have these territories where there are like 5 million U.S. citizens out there that can't vote in these elections. And that the idea that there's a second-class U.S. citizenship is something that's, surprises a lot of Americans. We saw the case with McCain when, you know, he was born outside of the United States, and there was a question about whether he was eligible to vote as well.
That's right. Well, eligible to run for president because you have to be a, quote, natural-born citizen.
Right. And so that came up. But there are those kinds of, the United States does have an empire. It does have these territories it controls. And there is this very contradictory, convoluted kind of history, legal history, about how that relationship is interpreted. Right now you do have that situation where, which we had at the District of Columbia. They couldn't vote, until there was an amendment of the Constitution, and the District of Columbia couldn't vote for president.
That's right. So here's a quick relevant follow-up call from Maximo in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi there.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good.
I'm a Puerto Rican, and I'm curious to ask whether if the Puerto Ricans are not allowed to vote in a general election, whether a Puerto Rican can run for president.
That's an interesting question. Are they natural? Juan Manuel, do you know, are Puerto Ricans natural-born citizens as defined by the Constitution so they could run for president even though they can't vote for president?
No, the Puerto Ricans are citizens of the United States by congressional act, so they are not natural-born citizens, and a Puerto Rican cannot run for president.
And that's been the tragedy of my life because, I was born in Puerto Rico, but I came here when I was 6 months old. And so, people were telling me in school that I could run for anything. I could run for president. Then I think I was like 42, and I found out I couldn't.
It's known as statutory citizenship. It's not natural-born citizen. It's known as statutory citizenship.
I get it.
And the problem is that the United States can't make up its mind as to what to do with Puerto Rico. This irony, this ridiculous situation in which the colony may decide who the president of the empire is going to be, has to be decided by the Americans. Let the Americans decide what they want to do with Puerto Rico and let us know.
212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, to talk about Puerto Ricans, New Yorkicans, and the primary coming up down on the island on Sunday with Angelo Falcone from the National Institute for Latino Policy here in New York and WUNO San Juan talk show host Juan Manuel Garcia Pasalacqua, 212-433-WNYC, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So, Juan Manuel, have Clinton and Obama been talking about these issues?
Yes.
When they've come to Puerto Rico?
Yes. Both of them have stated that they're neutral as to what the United States should do with Puerto Rico, with a difference. Hillary Clinton has stated that Puerto Rico is not a colony of the United States. Obama has said that it is a territory, therefore a colony, and only Obama has said that if he becomes president, being multicultural, he's willing to admit what is known here as a Hispano state.
What does that mean?
It means that Puerto Rico would be admitted to the Union without adopting English as its official language and preserving its culture and its language. Only Obama has said that.
Angelo, do you concur in terms of analysis of the candidates' positions?
Well, I mean, listen, this is like what we're seeing in Puerto Rico is kind of like a lot of political foreplay. But, after the primaries, I think, it's not going to be consummated. I think these people are just basically going to be forgetting everything they said because they don't need Puerto Rico after these primaries when you get into the general election. So they're basically saying a lot of very vague things. You have Hillary Clinton's been in the Senate for a while, and she's talking about, all these Puerto Ricans she represents in New York, but she hasn't dealt with this issue while she's been in the Senate in any serious way.
Exactly.
So we don't
Angelo
know.
Angelo is totally correct. Obama and Hillary are both senators. So what the hell are they doing here promising things that they could do tomorrow by filing bills in the Senate?
Harvey in Montclair. You're on WNYC. Hi, Harvey.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I used to hold the position that Puerto Rico was a colony, but the people have been given the opportunity to vote time and time again whether to change the status to a state or whatever, and they've voted time and time again to maintain the status.
We did not invade the United States in 1898. This is not a problem of Puerto Ricans voting. This is a problem of the invaders. The United States invaded Puerto Rico in 1898. It should decide whether it wants to stay or leave.
They have given them the option to decide for themselves, and they have decided.
We did not invade
the United States.
One at a time. Angelo, go ahead.
Not saying that. I think that's something we could clarify very clearly for people, and that is that people of Puerto Rico do not have the power to decide.
Sure.
They have the power to involve themselves in plebiscites and what we might call glorified polls, but ultimately it's the Congress of the United States that decides the future of Puerto Rico. No matter what the people of Puerto Rico vote on, that's ultimately. So imagine voting, participating in a vote where you know that ultimately you don't really have a say.
Yeah, but if people in Puerto Rico felt strongly about either independence or statehood, and they voted for one of those other options rather than the status quo, the current Commonwealth status, then there would be a different kind of political pressure brought to bear on Congress, wouldn't there? Even though Congress still holds the ultimate power, as you say.
Yeah, that's ignoring the history of colonialism and the kind of impact that over 100 years of being under United States rule has on the psyche and on the economy of Puerto Rico. The idea of independence being seen by many people as economically unviable. Right now you have a real struggle between the statehood, people support statehood, and the current status. There's a bill in the Congress of the United States, H.R. 900, that's going through committee, Congressman Serrano and the representative from Puerto Rico, for Luis Fortuño, have co-sponsored it, that has this convoluted process of trying to come up with a two-step process around plebiscites. The governor of Puerto Rico has another option. He wants to call for a constituent assembly. So those things are being discussed, but they're being discussed in the context now of this presidential election and a lot of other things that are just taking away the attention of the issue of status. But ultimately, it's a kind of thing that you have to take into account since 1998, that the people of Puerto Rico have been under the rule of the United States, and that has an impact in the way they view their place in the world, the question of the status and the relationship. And I think you can't oversimplify and assume that there has been no kind of unequal relationship over this time, and that people are just free to decide whatever the heck they want.
From our website, the comments page, somebody says Puerto Ricans do not pay federal income tax. Is that true?
Yeah.
So no taxation and no representation.
Part of the problem
here
is
that
when the United States took over, they also basically insisted Puerto Ricans have to pay a Commonwealth tax. And when they came up with the Commonwealth status, one of the things that they made sure is that people in Puerto Rico paid their way. So there are comparable taxes in Puerto Rico. The other thing about the income tax, which is interesting, is a lot of people don't realize that the poverty rate in Puerto Rico is close to 50%. And the income is very low. Right now, there's a phenomenon going on that with all the crackdown on undocumented immigrants, one of the sources now of new labor for many companies in the United States are they're beginning to recruit Puerto Ricans. That's why the income is so low on the island, that people are able to come here and replace people that are, quote-unquote, undocumented immigrants, because we come here already legally. So that's something else in terms of the economy of the island, the fiscal soundness of the government. There's a lot of issues there, and this is all under the tutelage, I guess, or whatever, of the United States, that relationship.
And then you must add, I guess, that we do pay a tax, a blood tax. 60 Puerto Ricans have died in the Iraq War.
So they can enlist in the military. And were they subject to the draft when there was a draft?
Yes, they were always subjected to the draft since the invasion, and Puerto Ricans have died on behalf of the United States. That's what's known here in Puerto Rico as the blood
And that's how 18-year-olds got the vote, right? Back in the Vietnam era when there was a draft.
Mm-hmm.
If we're old enough to die, old enough to vote.
That's right.
So if we're American enough to die, we're American enough to vote, could be your cry.
Well, here we didn't get that.
Al in the South Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Al.
How you doing, guys? Right. I got a very, this is something very obvious. I did not know this at all. But what about Puerto Ricans who've immigrated to the U.S.? I mean, I know there's millions in New York. Are they allowed to vote? Or are they?
Sure.
Right, and it's not technically immigrated, but moved here.
Right.
Yes.
And so they can vote. Now, someone else on the website puts it this way. Tell me if this is the right terminology. This says, I thought Puerto Ricans were U.S. nationals, not U.S. citizens. So as soon as they move
They are statutory citizens according to all the decisions of the Supreme Court
of the United States.
Beginning with Balzac versus Puerto Rico in 1922.
Citizens per the Act of Congress.
I think they got us mixed up with Guam. The residents of Guam are U.S. nationals.
Oh, so what's the difference in status between Guam and Puerto Rico?
Well, they're both unincorporated territories of the United States with a difference, that the Guamanians were labeled, again, nationals, not citizens, and we were labeled statutory citizens. That's the difference.
So if people from Guam moved to the mainland, they wouldn't automatically be eligible to vote as Puerto Ricans are?
No, they would have to become nationalized Americans.
Uh-huh, really? Now, which way, Angelo, if you know, did the Puerto Rican vote go in the New York Democratic primary?
Oh, it went for Hillary Clinton, clearly, yeah.
Oh, well, massively, yeah.
Massively. And Juan Manuel, do you expect the same thing on Sunday?
No. I think on Sunday in Puerto Rico, the issue will be different from that of New York. In New York, the Puerto Ricans endorse Hillary, and that's for sure. In Puerto Rico, it will all depend on one thing. Hillary is being supported by the statehood party, and Obama is being supported by the anti-statehood party. Hmm. That will be the only issue here.
Well, I think it's a little bit more complicated, I would think, Juanma, because I think one of the things that people don't understand is also the two parties here aren't equivalent to the party structure in Puerto Rico. You have the Commonwealth Party, which affiliates itself with the Democratic Party, but then the Statehood Party affiliates itself both with the Republicans and with the Democrats. And when they held their local primary in Puerto Rico, the Statehood Party candidate for governor, because the other thing is that in November there's a governor's race in Puerto Rico, so that the guy who got Fortunio, who is a McCain supporter, he's the Republican, so that the person who was Rosselló, who was the Clinton person, didn't win the primary.
Right.
So now the Obama campaign actually has two teams working with the campaign, a red team and a blue team representing the two different parties in Puerto Rico.
It's a little
convoluted in that sense, and there are questions, for example, about the turnout. For example, Hillary Clinton wants to make this argument that she's getting the popular vote, so her people have been stressing that there are so many voters in Puerto Rico that are going to turn out, which is not clear. At one point, there are 4 million people that live in Puerto Rico. I heard one of her representatives on, I think, Fox, saying that there are 4 million voters in Puerto Rico.
Fascinating thing, Angelo, is that this person, Mrs. Hillary Clinton, is claiming that the popular vote in Puerto Rico is important,
right,
when the popular vote in Puerto Rico is totally irrelevant because we don't vote for president.
All right, we leave it there with Juan Manuel Garcia Pasalacqua, political analyst and host of a talk show on WUNO Radio in San Juan, and Angelo Falcone, a professor at Columbia University and director of the National Institute for Latino Policy. No taxation and no representation, but a vote in the Democratic primary on Sunday. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yes, thank you very much. Angelo, saludo siempre.
Igualmente.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. New Jersey Congressman Rob Andrews, Democrat, who wants to unseat Frank Lautenberg in the New Jersey U.S. Senate primary coming up on Tuesday. Stay with us.